It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, we learn what it's like to be a contestant on the reality TV series Love Island USA. It's matchmaking on the set of a villa where dating, romance, relationships could lead to a couple to a $100,000 cash prize. As we talk about reality TV, call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Allie Ryan is a nursing student and native of Madison, a contestant on the recently concluded season of Love Island USA on Peacock. Allie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. How are you adjusting to life after your time on Love Island?
It's crazy. I was only gone for a couple months, but it seemed like years. So coming back, I'm like learning all these new things, keeping up with everyone's life. It's crazy, but it's so good.
Keeping up with whose life? What are the the relationships after you leave Love Island?
They're honestly incredible. You become like part of such a little family. And it's so cool. And now you have friends all over and you're keeping up with their lives. And now you're realizing their real life outside of being in the show. It's super cool, though.
How did your time on Love Island change things in your personal life? What's new about you?
You know, I feel like everyone has a goal of dating, to get married, have kids, do the classic thing. But once you go on a show like that and you really deflect and look inward, it's not all about that. It's finding the right person. And if the right person isn't there for you, don't do it.
Why did you think you wanted to do this?
I have been a reality TV fan since I can remember. I was always super infatuated with it. And once the time came when I was single and I was like, you know what, now's the time to do it if I want to try, sent in an application. 6 months later, here I was.
When you were accepted, what went through your mind? I mean, what did that feel like?
I was like, oh, wait, this is actually happening. It was all fun and games during the interview process. And you kind of just sit in the back of your mind, this might not happen. So you don't want to set your mind completely to it, but you want to be open to it. And then it happened. And I was like, oh, wait, okay, it's real now.
for people who aren't familiar with Love Island, can you explain a little bit about where it's set, what takes place, and what contestants do? Just give us a little bit of a primer.
Yeah, so location is different every season. Ours was in Fiji this summer. Typically ends up being about 30-ish people a summer go to find love. People get voted off via public, via islanders inside. People are constantly coming in as bombshells to kind of spice things up and create new relationships. And at the end, there stands three couples and one wins by the public vote.
Okay. Could you see cameras everywhere, or did you stop realizing they were there?
I was nervous that I was going to not be able to be myself and I was going to be hypersensitive of the cameras around you. But I swear, 10 minutes into going into the villa, you don't even remember. You don't even care. You don't really notice them. And if you do, you don't even bat an eye about it.
Similar thing with microphones, like
yes. Yes.
They're just kind of become part of the look of the villa, I would imagine. Okay.
They absolutely do. And when it was time to, go home and take them off, I felt like I had them on still for like a good week.
We're talking about reality TV with Allie Ryan, Wisconsinite and contestant on Love Island USA Season 5. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. So, Allie, new people join the show intermittently throughout the season. You and six other new women came in halfway through during a process called Casa Amor. That's when the cast apparently split into two separate villas, given the opportunity to meet new people. What was it like coming into the villa with pre-established relationships?
Yeah, so I mean it's tricky, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's a trickier position to be in, but in the same token, you're there with six other girls that are in the same exact position as you. So that creates such a separate bond versus some girls going there as bombshells by themselves, and I feel like that's being thrown into the shark den. So I'm super grateful that I got to go in with such amazing girls and we got to, do it together, and we were all the new kids on the block together. So that was awesome. It was a little tricky because the boys had already been, seeing the same girls and stuff. So, but honestly, I wouldn't have had it any other way.
How do you learn the relationship dynamics that exist? I mean, how much information do you know going in about, who's dating whom, who has deep friendships with whom? How much
Yes.
information do you have?
So we had as much as you guys, we were able to watch as well.
Okay.
Yes. So that brings you to an advantage also, because you're kind of seeing everything that's happening in secret conversations that maybe other islanders aren't aware of what they're saying. So you got to sit back and watch, and then you get to go on there and do your thing.
Speaking of watching, have you watched the whole season in its entirety?
Of course. I feel like I saw it. I went in there, I experienced it. And then afterwards, I have to see what went on, especially for the girls that I went in with that became my best friends. I wanted to see how their story was going to play out.
What did you think as you watched it?
I was so proud of every one of them. Honestly, I couldn't have asked for a better journey for each and every one of them. So I'm super happy.
There's this saying in the villa that things move really fast between castmates, and meaning things develop more quickly than they would on the outside. And this can include friendships as well. Does that map onto your experience?
100%. When I watched these shows for years, I would sit there and I would say, oh, wow, that's dramatic. Oh, they love each other and it's been 3 days, or they're best friends and it's been a day. I'm like, yeah, whatever. The second I went in there, I was like, oh my God, I get it now. I completely get it. I was best friends with Taylor S, who ended up with Bergie after about 2 hours because we rode in the van together to the villa. And I was like, yep, she's my best friend. There's just something about being completely out of your element, away from home, going on, a crazy and scary and exciting experience that you really just like clamp on to the people around you. And we always say one day in the villa feels like five on the outside. It truly does.
You mentioned Bergie. I understand another Midwesterner. Can you explain this
Yeah.
castmate? Yeah.
Yes. So he was born and raised in Minnesota, I believe, went off to play college football in South Dakota. And yeah, he was the Midwestern boy.
What were your interactions like with Bergie?
Yeah, so we had a couple chats right away. In Love Island, you have to sleep in beds with a partner, I guess I would say, not necessarily a couple. And he asked me that first night to share a bed, in which I did. Super, super kind guy. He had his eyes very set on a specific type of girl, and that was me. And yeah, we kicked it off because we had the same, we grew up the same way in the Midwest. Everyone else was in the same big areas, and then there was us. So we clicked. There wasn't really anything romantic there, but I am super grateful to have met him.
A lot of the drama on Love Island comes from different interpretations of social dynamics in the villa. How are the social rules in the villa different from the rules in real life?
Well, in real life, if you date multiple people, that's usually a no-no. And in Love Island, you're kind of encouraged to. I mean, that's part of the process, right? If we're not going to, essentially quit our jobs and go on this TV show to do the same things that we do in real life. Everyone's kind of dating everyone, but at the same time, you're still a respectful person because of, what in the real life, what we have to do. So you have to have conversations. It's a little awkward, but at the end of the day, that's what we all signed up for.
Ellie Ryan is a nursing student from Wisconsin, recently competed on Love Island USA Season 5. And we get an inside look at the relationship dramas presented on reality TV. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your perspective. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dozens of singles pair up, break up. They vie for a chance to win cash and love. We get a Wisconsin perspective on what it's like to be cast on a reality TV show. Call in with your question, add comments at any point. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ellie Ryan is a nursing student from Madison, recently competed on Love Island USA Season 5. Ellie, how does Love Island compare to other shows in terms of scripted versus unscripted content?
Well, I think unscripted is way better. Mm-hmm. I always feel like I can relate with reality shows because what happens is actually what's happening. Who they're dating is actually who they're dating. So I find it a lot more relatable to watch unscripted shows.
How much of the tension and the interactions and exchanges between contestants are set up or perhaps boosted by the producers? Can you give us any insights there?
I would say none of them are boosted or scripted or pushed or anything like that. Everything is usually pretty much like, I would say maybe things, I wouldn't say boosted by producers or anything like that, but I would just think, you know, you're just coming in to a situation not knowing what's going on. And it's just, it can be a lot. So you don't really know what you're doing because you're thrown into this experience. So I would say things could be altered because you're just trying to settle into a situation. And sometimes people don't act maybe how they would act on the outside world because we're just put in a tiny little bubble. But as far as production pushing things or scripted or anything like that, absolutely not. It's all real.
And in this bubble, you don't have your cell phone from the outside world or other types of connections to the outside world, but you do.
No.
Yes, but you do actually have like a phone or a way the producers can contact you to tell you kind of where to go and what to maybe expect.
Yeah, so we had those cell phones and they only did two things. You could take photos on it or you would receive a text. You couldn't send anything. You could only receive a text when they meant to send a text to you. So that's all those phones did.
How did that feel to be so cut off?
It was very strange. I was extremely nervous and I'm like, how can I talk to my mom? I need to talk to my mom. Honestly, the second, you know, you're without a phone, it's actually really relaxing. You don't have to worry about, you know, responding to people in a timely manner, people, you know, wanting you to do X, Y, and Z. It's really relaxing to go without a cell phone. I encourage everyone to try it for like at least a weekend a month.
How do you detox from social media? But how do you feel about the influence of social media after going through this experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is very positive. Of course, you know, you have to accept that there are going to be negative comments. That's just the world that we live in. Honestly, everything I've really experienced is pretty positive. It creates such a little world that people are such fans of, and they're so kind and supportive. And it's so nice to be a part of this little family because they're so sweet.
Do you have advice when you encounter negativity in these posts or people who are going after you? What do you do?
Yeah, I honestly feel sorry for them more than I'm upset at what they're saying about me. If someone wants to go on the internet and talk nasty about someone, that's just more testament to their character than it is what they're saying about you. And I think if you keep your mind on straight, you won't let that affect you because it just shows that maybe they're just they're more of a miserable person than you are. And you just kind of got to you know, hope and pray that they get better and just move along.
Do you find that you talk about your mom? Do you have those support systems that you can turn to if the going gets rough on, on social media or elsewhere after going through this reality TV experience?
Absolutely. I have the best support system ever. And I definitely took that into account when I was applying and going through the interview process for this. You know, those are huge things that you have to look at. Like, can I handle these things? Do I have people to lean on? And I absolutely have so many people to lean on. So if anyone is planning or, you know, thinking about going on it, make sure you have a good support system and make sure you fully grasp the concept of what it means to go on a national TV show.
How did you put your life on hold to do this?
Yeah, so I was kind of at a point in my life where, you know, I had started a new job. I liked it, but it wasn't my forever job. And I was like, you know what? If I get this, I will quit. I was in school, so that would just be the summer semester. So it was perfect timing. I got it. And so I put in my 2 weeks at work, and they were super happy for me for the reason of leaving. And yeah, everything just kind of seemed to work out and fall into place. So I just figured now or never.
Last year, reality was the second most in-demand genre of TV in our country. And now that you have experience on a reality TV show, what do you think makes the genre so popular?
Actually did not know that. That's awesome.
There are others like you out there, Allie.
Right, I guess so. My friends would always laugh at me for how much I love reality TV, but laughing at them now. Like I was saying earlier, I think people on reality TV are so much more relatable. You know, people, you know, they talk about mental health, they go through things, you actually see their true emotions, you see the journey of their life and what they go through. And I find that so relatable. I don't want to find someone on a scripted TV show that's perfect and the storyline is unrealistic and it's romanticized and it's not real life. Reality TV is real life. And that's why I appreciate it so much. And I think others do too then.
When you watch it though, do you find yourself laughing? I mean, do you find humor in it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When people, you know, they get caught off guard with saying dumb stuff or, you know, something airheaded, or they're getting caught saying something that like they didn't intend to do in front of camera, like little things like that, that just make people more human. It's hilarious. Or sometimes when you blow things out of proportion, which we all do in real life, it's just funny and nice to see that in people because that's what happens in real life. And that's what we all do.
We're talking about reality TV with Allie Ryan, Wisconsinite contestant on Love Island USA Season 5. You can call in with your question, your comments, 800-642-1234. Allie, getting serious here, were you hoping to find love on the show?
I was very open to the idea, but my mind wasn't set on it that I would be disappointed if I didn't. I know that's a huge option or what an outcome could be with dating shows like that. So I didn't want to go in there with my mind only set on that because I didn't want the whole thing to become a disappointment had I not. Honestly, I wanted to go in there and just see whatever was meant for me and experience the experience.
and be authentic throughout the process because 100%. You could have kind of gone along with, I would imagine, a relationship and not maybe shown your true colors about how you felt.
Exactly. That was always a big thing to me. If I'm going to go in there and I get the chance, I'm not going to do anything that I would regret or that's not who I am.
So in the villa this season, there were several neon signs designating, you know, talking areas from one another. And one area had a sign that said soul ties.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, there was a cast member, KK, said soul ties is crazy. That saying stuck.
Yes.
So tell us a bit, unpack that. Is soul ties crazy?
So soul ties does kind of seem crazy. A lot of conversations and things went down in soul ties. The thing about soul ties is, I mean, there's hardly any privacy, right, in the villa, because that's the point of it. There shouldn't be. But Soul Ties was a little like loft above the villa with like almost like a day bed and pillows and stuff. And it was pretty secluded. So I think, you know, that heightened the idea of Soul Ties, because people would go up there if they wanted really private conversations or to do things that they didn't want everyone else around seeing you. Cause in the villa, you can just see straight and you see everything and everyone. So that was kind of like a little private nook. And so a lot of things went down in Soul Ties. Therefore, it is in fact crazy.
Oh, Allie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Allie Ryan is a nursing student from Wisconsin, recently competed on Love Island USA Season 5. And for more coverage of Wisconsinites appearing on reality TV, visit our program page. You'll find a link to Central Time's recent interview with a survivalist who competed on the 10th season of Alone by the History Channel. Visit WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a cultural festival taking place this weekend.
The pandemic brought many annual festivals to a halt. This summer, some are finally making their comeback, like Greek Fest Plus in Madison. To celebrate its long-awaited return, we revisit this story from 2019, when Carol Griskovich talked with organizers from Assumption Greek Orthodox Church about the history of the festival.
It's my understanding that still, and I was digging into this, that we are the longest running ethnic festival in Madison. It's a Greek Fest Plus, because we want to really honor all of the diverse ethnicities in our community. But it's really a reunion, it's a block party, it's a community event, and especially last year people would come up to me and say they've never felt more welcome at a festival in Madison as they have at Greek Fest.
For many years this was the only Eastern Christian church in this part of Wisconsin, and so as a consequence all the Orthodox people from all over the world who lived in central and southern Wisconsin came here to this church, and they still do.
Jason, yeah. Happy birthday to your father.
Oh yeah, I didn't even say that.
Well, the church was started, it was incorporated with the state of Wisconsin in 1951, and it was a group of primarily Greek immigrants that relocated here in the Madison area that began the church.
My grandfather came at age 16 with some male relatives, and they began working on the railroad. They settled in Madison and opened up a restaurant, the Coney Island. First, it was located, I believe, on the 2nd block of State Street, and then later it moved to the 300 block of State Street.
Oh, should we just get like a variety pack?
Hi. Can I have 4 baklava, please?
And we brought back this year the traditional Coney dog, Coney Island dog, which is how so many of the Greek immigrants made their living coming to America. And they brought with them the secret, the spices and the cumin and the cinnamon and to add to this puree sauce that gets spooned over a hot dog.
I'm going to leave one spice out, just so no one knows. We've got cayenne, cloves, cinnamon, of course, oregano, of course, paprika, allspice, and a mystery spice. Garlic powder, onion powder, butter. Actually, butter is what caught me off guard with the recipe. It's like it's going to give it a really kind of a thick richness. We're going to cook it down so it's thick. We're going to puree it, so it's not chili sauce. This is Coney sauce. It's very specific to Greek immigrants.
Have you sampled the Coney sauce that we are using during Greek Fest? Because from what I have been told, we're using your father's recipe.
I have not, because I have never been fond. Isn't that terrible? Our bread and butter, and I was never fond of the chili sauce.
That's who we are as the church, who we are as Orthodox Christians. That familial bond that we already have through our worship is just transferred out into the celebration of our ethnic heritage and bringing of all of these people together. 2 days of this huge festival that just brings our excitement for one another out.
That was Georgiana Wilton, David Giffey, Patty Notes, and Father Michael Vanderhoof, who passed away in 2020. Music by Rithmos and Sergei Belkin. That story on Greek Fest Plus came to us from Carol Griskovich, who is also a member of Assumption Greek Orthodox Church. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Greek Fest Plus will take place in Madison September 9th and 10th. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Newfoundland Club of America is set to put on rescue dog water tests in Pleasant Prairie. We explore how this large dog breed excels at water rescues and life saving, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danae Baker Austin is a Wisconsin breeder and past president of North Central Newfoundland Club with members in Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Her dogs have achieved 8 water titles. Danae, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to telling and sharing about our Newfoundland.
Yes, absolutely. So the North Central Newfoundland Club hosting a water testing event, at least 20 people and dogs participating. Why are Newfoundlands a good breed for water rescues?
The Newfoundland was, the history and the origin is in the province of Newfoundland, Canada. And they were originally used as a working dog. They helped the fishermen with their nets, the water, bringing in all their catches. Actually, if someone fell overboard, I believe they would have jumped in and saved them. They also helped with the draft and hauling of wood in that area for the settlers. And they are a large, sturdy, substantial dog that was bred specifically for that purpose of swimming. And they do have, what's really fascinating, is webbed feet. And that actually helps them move through the water. And I know a lot of people are familiar with dogs swimming and they do what we call the doggy paddle.
Yes.
Newfoundlands do not swim like that. They actually have a modified breaststroke, which is pretty fascinating to see. If you ever watch them swim in a clear water, you'll see that they can actually swim rather than paddle, like a doggy paddle. Pretty fascinating.
That is fascinating. What about their heads? Do they put their heads below the surface ever of the water, or are their heads always above water?
When they're swimming, their jowls are level with the water, and they swim in a very streamlined. We do have in our water test an exercise that they have to go and submerge for an article that is under the water at elbow deep, and that is for their senior level. But they do have no problem putting their heads under the water, and staying out of the water for a Newfoundland is a little bit of a challenge because they just absolutely love it.
They really gravitate to water.
Yes, so they do. A puddle, a sprinkler, you name it.
You bring it on, right. The water test is a 2-day event, and there are land and water tests. What do the water tests consist of?
There are 3 levels to our titles, and one is called a water dog, which is our junior level, a water rescue dog, which is our senior level, And the highest level that they can achieve a title is a water dog excellent, water rescue dog excellent. And our test is also having a tadpole, which is kind of a beginner fun little thing to get your dog started. But a lot of them consist of towing a boat to shore, beaching it. They take a line out to someone calling for help to bring, and that's representing them to rescue someone. They jump off the back of a boat for a paddle to bring it back to their handler at the boat. They also have a retrieving of an article, which is either a cushion or a life vest. And these all signify or represent a real life-saving situation, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fascinating. Very fascinating.
What are judges watching for? I mean, what are their standards of how these dogs perform? Is it speed? Is it the agility or technique?
The judges are, the events are timed, and all the events as you and your dog, as a handler and your dog, are watched. There's a specific order of which they do. But all of the events that we do, when we do, they are hands off. So it's really a team effort, and your ability to work with your dog without touching them physically. You can do that in between the exercises, but they're looking for the ability to go out and retrieve an article and deliver it to the handler's hand without dropping it. The boat has to be beached completely with a taut line, which they have a bumper in their mouth.
Wow.
There's timed how long they can take to jump off the boat to get to the paddle or to the person that they're rescuing. So those are the specifics per exercise, but all of it is all natural instinct for many of the Newfoundlands. They just gravitate to the water. They may need to be fine-tuned, but the majority of them will take and get an object and bring it back to you.
I'm just thinking about them towing a boat.
Yeah.
And I can't even fathom the strength and, you know, the ability to do that, how they learn to do that. What does that take to achieve that level?
A lot of practice and a lot of reward. And positive reward to between you and your dog. And also it takes a great deal of help from your other fellow Newfoundland lovers who come out and help train with you, because you need somebody rowing the fishing boat. You need somebody to call for help in the boat for you. So it takes a village really to help train for those titles as well.
And these titles being honorary here in Wisconsin, the American Kennel Club dogs are not being used as formal lifeguards, but in other parts of the world they are. How are Newfoundlands used in other countries?
The other countries that I am familiar with are Italy, England, I believe possibly France, but I'm not 100% sure. They are exceptional Newfoundlands. They start at a very young age, and they are an actual certified lifeguard that works alongside a human. And in Italy, the dogs actually jump out of helicopters to rescue, and they always have a harness or a safety vest on, life vest, when they're working at that level. And in our test, we are just simulating their talents and their instinct. So we don't necessarily work as an official certification of a lifeguard here in the States, but they are able to do those same similar exercises.
They are well on their way.
Yes, exactly.
Danae Baker Austin is a breeder with a business called Shore Path Newfoundlands in far southern Wisconsin. Call in with your question, your concerns about this large dog breed. The number to join the discussion is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Newfoundland Club of America will host water rescue tests in Pleasant Prairie. According to the American Kennel Club, this large dog breed isn't used for water rescue in an official capacity here in the States, but Newfoundlands still patrol beaches in France and Italy. Be part of the conversation, calling in with your questions. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danae Baker-Austin is a Wisconsin breeder, past president of North Central Newfoundland Club. Danae, you own five Newfoundlands that live in your house. Maybe, just maybe, we've heard one in the background trying to pick
Sorry,
up on
trying
no,
to keep it more close.
Please don't. Yeah, no, invite them in. Why did you want to become a breeder?
My little bit of history that's short is when I was 8 years old, I saw a show when we had very limited TV, and I saw that a Newfoundland could be a lifeguard, and I absolutely have a passion for water. And I said, someday I will have one of them. And I did when I turned 38. So I've had them for quite some time. And I can't imagine my life without them. I share, my oldest now is almost 9 and my youngest is 11 weeks. So it's that's who's barking in the background.
How have they changed you?
They have brought the most wonderful people into my life, and I have been blessed with that. I've also, they're humbling because each one of them is their own individual. I've learned from them how to be more patient and understanding, and the bonds that I've created with each and every one, the past that I've lost and are here, it's pretty special. Extremely special. And I'm gifted that they are in my life. And I'm also blessed that they have been with other people and have shared the love that they do as well with Newfoundland. So
I don't have one, but I would imagine when you gaze into their eyes so full of emotion when they're looking at you, telling you a story. Right. What do you see in their eyes?
The Newfoundland, that is their hallmark, and the hallmark of the breed is their temperament and their soft expression. And you do, their eyes are deep, rich chocolate brown that just draw you in. And they are one of the dogs in the working group from the AKC that was bred not to be a guardian. And they were specifically bred for working. And you can see that there's a few that a lot of people will know, the story of Peter Pan, and the dog that's in the story of Peter Pan is Nana, and she is a Newfoundland. And the ability with them and their soft temperament with children is superior to, I feel, any other dog. And it's not to say that other dogs aren't. The Newfoundland just gravitates to people, and it's pretty fascinating.
What can we learn from the way these dogs approach water rescues that could possibly improve how human lifeguards do their job?
They instinctually read what's going on in the water, and they are so observant to their surrounding. And I feel as a lifeguard, which I was, and as a younger person, you need to be aware of everything around you, but also be in tune, because there's some people who are just learning to swim, and the Newfoundlands tend to not want anybody in the water at that point. But we need to learn from that, as well as to watch those people that may need a little assistance as well. So I had a dog that I was training for the highest level, and I was training with a person who was not as of an experienced swimmer, and she would not leave her side. And so that's what you're learning from them, is to watch your surroundings and read people internally.
What is your training routine like for your dogs prior to a water test?
We pretty much have a daily routine. The conditioning of a dog is important, and especially an athletic dog. And that's what these guys are when they get in the water. They're an athlete. And we take walks, especially, longer, more conditioning walks. We do a lot of a balance and agility training. And agility, I mean, on balance balls and core strengthening. I do a lot of that. A balanced diet is important. And also just making sure that you can train on land, but in the water, we just swim. We do the muscles that they use in swimming is not the same as land muscles. So we really need to make sure that they are able to swim at distances. And that's really what we work on. My dogs go for a walk twice a day, at least a mile each time. In the heat, we don't. That's been unfortunate lately, but because with that heavy-coated breed, you know.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure that's really difficult. Talking with Danae Baker Austin, a longtime member, past president of the North Central Newfoundland Club, has 8 water titles, and we're discussing canine water rescue. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. Danae, what is your response to people who are concerned about the welfare of dogs like Newfoundland's that are assigned to practical tasks?
I would say that I don't think that it's a big an issue or anything like that, but I feel that it's important that a dog that is bred for a specific task, that they're able to do that. And enjoy that ability, like a herding dog and herding with, you know, cattle or sheep or ducks. And our Newfoundlands love the water instinct or the draft. I was going to mention that the National Club, the Newfoundland Club of America, has been hosting for over 50 plus years water titles, water exercises. And there's also a title called the VN that is a versatile Newfoundland. And that's an award and an achievement that the dog and its handler owner has multiple titles. It's a championship, a certified obedience title, a water dog, a water rescue dog, and a draft title. And that's a pretty amazing title that they can earn. And it's an accomplishment between the owner and that companion dog that is just amazing.
In our last moments together, taking us back to the water test in Lake Prairie, Lake Andrea, what is that like? What will it be like for the dogs?
It's a wonderful event. We encourage people to come out and watch. You will be amazed at their ability. The dogs are also all individual time on the beach during the test. It starts at 8 a.m. on those days. And it's a really good way to learn about the Newfoundland and its water abilities and water rescue abilities.
Do these dogs socialize at events like these, or is the protocol to keep them apart?
We are very strict where the dogs are always kept on leash other than the dog that's training on the beach. And all the other dogs that are entrants are held in their area of like a crate and a tent and their equipment with their handler.
I see. And, okay.
Yeah, it's a very safe, secure area that we work in, like any other event that you go to with a dog. It's be aware of what you're doing.
Danae, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having us, and I really appreciate it. Hope everybody enjoyed the show.
Danae Baker Austin, breeder, past president of the North Central Newfoundland Club, owns Shorepath Newfoundlands in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.